Today on Real Radio.
When you go to hand out Bibles, you have a constitutional right provided by the founders who prayed, sought God, and saw the freedom and liberty available in Scripture, and they put it up before this nation. And if, listen, the greatest way to lose these freedoms is for you to tune this out and not vote wisely.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack steps aside from his series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. You know, there's an upcoming election, and we're going to be hearing a whole lot about it in the next couple of days. And with that, we've got a special and very timely presentation. Now, of course, we as believers, we should not only enjoy and exercise our rights and freedoms, but also our Judeo-Christian worldview is really supposed to be our guide when making decisions. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a message called Politics. Why should the Christian care?
In the Declaration of Independence, Jefferson wrote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident." That means any bonehead can figure it out. That all men are created equal. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Every one of us in this room tonight enjoy that as we sit here. A penny. Do you have a penny in your pocket? A penny. How much is a penny worth? Oh, not much. Let me argue with you. It's worth a lot. It's got a story on it. Number one, you'll find the word liberty on the penny. Number two, you're going to find "In God We Trust" on the penny. And then thirdly, "E pluribus unum," out of many one, united. There's a trinity of freedom on every bit of U.S. currency. Every one of those three things deal with or point to God. Every one of them. In God we trust. Out of many one, unity. And liberty. All comes from God. Very interesting to keep in mind. Let's look at the screens again regarding the First Amendment. A lot of talk going on right now about the First Amendment on the news. It's as though it's hot off the press. First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Stop right there. Keep it on the screens. That statement right there takes the current movement in America regarding Sharia law mandated by government, Islamic Sharia law. It's being discussed right now in American courts. That right there demands it be thrown out. Our judges don't care. Our legal system doesn't care because the Constitution's getting trashed. That right there says no state-mandated religion. You know why it's in there? You got to know a little bit about American history. Because in England, you could only worship through the Church of England. You could not evangelize without the permission of the Church of England in Europe. Did you know that in England? Did you know that when our founding fathers came over here and started evangelizing people, there was an issue made by King George III that you cannot evangelize people without the approval of the Church of England? Our founding fathers said, we'll never get messed up like that. There will be no government-mandated religion in this nation. In that case, there will be a secular nation. Doesn't mean we don't believe in God. We'll be a secular nation, meaning we will not have a United States of America church. No way. You should have the freedom to not worship or worship. Only people who can think and reason could agree with that statement on the wall. Watch this. Or Congress cannot, look, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech. Did you know that Congress cannot tell you when, where, or how you can worship in your religious community? It is against the law for them to tell you that you can or cannot do your religious practice or not. When you go to hand out Bibles, you have a constitutional right provided by the founders who prayed, sought God, and saw the freedom and liberty available in Scripture, and they put it up before this nation. And if, listen, the greatest way to lose these freedoms is for you to tune this out and not vote wisely. By the way, do you know how we prevent bloody coups and revolutions in this country now? Anybody have an idea? How do we avoid bloody coups or... Say it again. We vote. Every 2 or 4 years, we have a revolution in this country without blood. You walk into a voting box and you vote. The power of the vote. Where does this freedom that God has given us apply? Where are we not to exercise this freedom? I want you to be thinking about that. And listen, we have a responsibility to God to do the right thing at all times. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 says this. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That means you can't do something to get saved. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Circle those two words. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Good works is, or would be, righteous acts, to do the right thing. Christian, all of us are to do righteousness. We are to do the right thing. Yeah, but I feel, forget your feelings. What's the right thing? What's the right thing to do? We are commanded by God to do the right thing. Those are good works. We're to do the right thing. Our second point tonight is this. Our biblical worldview on politics, asking this question of why should the Christian care, is because we are the voice for good. You are. I am. We are the voice for what is good. We know what is good because we have this. Well, you know, there's other opinions. I respect those other opinions. And I respect your freedom to be wrong regarding your opinion. Did you know? Listen. I mean, that sounds sarcastic, but I'm going somewhere with this. I'm old enough to have grown up in an America where if you and I disagreed with one another, at the end of the day when we had our arguments and our debate, we went out and had pizza together. We didn't kill each other. We didn't pull out guns and shoot each other. You know what the definition of that is? Noah Webster gave it this definition in 1826. Tolerance. Ladies and gentlemen, young people today, you don't know the definition of the word tolerance. Tolerance today is y'all got to think like I think, and if anyone doesn't think like I think, we'll destroy them. We will marginalize them. We will mock them into oblivion. That's not tolerance. That's tyranny. If you're tolerant, you can get along, even love someone who completely disagrees with your biblical worldview or your atheism or your agnosticism or your Hinduism or your Islam or whatever isms. Isn't it interesting? Today, I thought about this today. Please, listen. Today, a Harvard professor from Harvard. Look, if you have enough money today or whatever, you can get through Harvard, no problem. Okay, so tonight on the news, a Harvard professor has almost certainly discovered information that proves that Jesus had at least one wife, maybe more. And you know what I did as I was putting on my slip-ons tonight? And I saw that on the news. Wow. I said, wow, what a dope. Well, wait. And I came here. And then I thought, as I was driving here, I should find an embassy to burn. I need to find an embassy. We should march to Harvard and burn it down. Why? Because Christianity is a peaceful religion. Let's burn it down. Are you kidding me? Constantly we are mocked. Constantly the Bible's ridiculed. Constantly Jesus' name, no one cuts their thumb and says, Mohammed, that hurt. No, they cuss the name Jesus, don't they? They cuss the name, the world cusses the name Jesus. And no one burns down something. Isn't that interesting? The Christian voice, biblically based, is a voice for good. It's a voice for the innocent. It's even the voice for the guilty. Our Judeo-Christian laws, jurisprudence in America is based upon the Bible. The Bible says that you should not receive an accusation against a minister, a pastor, a church leader without three witnesses. Did you know that? It says it in the book of Timothy. Oh, did you hear what this pastor? You know what? Stop, don't tell me anymore unless you have three witnesses. I'm not supposed to listen to it. And did you know our founding fathers said, you know, based upon the Old Testament and the New Testament, that's how people here will be convicted. We need two or three witnesses. And they put it into our jurisprudence and the creation of our system. And I could go on and on all night about what they've lifted from the scriptures. If you read John Locke's Treaty on Government and Society, 2-volume, you can buy it at Barnes & Noble's or whichever one's in business still. Buy it. 1,500 John Locke, 1,500 times John Locke cited the scriptures, and our founding fathers read John Locke and incorporated it into the creation of this nation. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. We are a voice for good. Who's going to speak up for the things that are wrong? And how do we speak up? We vote. We call in. Do you understand? Are you guys with me? You're so quiet. You call the 202 phone number in Washington, D.C. The thing says, press 1 if you are in disagreement with this policy. Press 2 if you are in agreement. Use it. Do it. You've got the opportunity in this nation to do that. We can stand on street corners with signs and say yes or no or, you know, up or down or whatever. Do that. It's your voice being proclaimed, and you're standing for what is right. You can stand in front of an abortion clinic and tell that young lady, are you sure you know what you're doing? Please don't do what I did. You're going to regret it. Think about it. Give it one more week. Think. Read this before you make your decision. A voice for good. I can say that because I survived an abortion. A voice for good. Proverbs 29:18 in the New Living Translation says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. If I were to ask you tonight, now you guys are different. This church is highly informed. But what if I were to say to you, are you aware of what's going on right now regarding? Most people, most citizens would have no idea, and yet it will affect their life and their children's life and their grandchildren's life for the rest of time. Christians are to speak into the culture, and we can do that in various ways. And I'll say in this season, voting is the opportunity that's before us. The third thing tonight is this. Our biblical worldview on politics, why should the Christian care, is because we are the keepers of civility. See, what do you mean by that, man? It's keepers of civility. What are you talking about? I'm talking about if you really want to understand Christianity or Christianity's influence in the world. You need to look at the spirit of Christianity, which is revealed in the Sermon on the Mount. What the Ten Commandments is to the Old Testament, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7 is the spirit of Christianity. In verses 3 to 9 of chapter 5, listen to this. As we are the keepers of civility, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We should be humble people who care about others. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When we look at our culture and we see the decadence and the decay and the injustice that's being done to people, to the widows and to the fatherless, to those that are truly hurting, honestly hurting, we should be prominent keepers of civility as Christians. You see, all of a sudden now, no place should be exempt from Christian influence. I had an amazing opportunity. I won't share much, but I spent, I don't know, I was in jail yesterday. And I had an opportunity to tour a jail up in Castaic, Los Angeles County Jail. And I saw a lot of things, but I had a great opportunity as the chief said, "You want to come up here and say something to these guys?" God moment. I didn't know that was going to happen. But I won't tell you exactly everything what I said, but I just told them this because, you know, I walk up in front of them and I'm free. And they're not. And I just said, "Hey, listen, I'll just say a few things to you today, but let's just keep this in mind. The only reason why I'm standing here free and you're here not free is because you got caught. But before God, we are all sinners. You see, I'm free because I didn't get caught. All of us have sinned." And these guys were there and they were studying the Bible. They literally had Bibles. In fact, by the end of the day, they were asking, "Can we get some sermons here? Can you get us some commentaries? We really like John MacArthur," they said. Isn't that amazing? By the way, it's a pretty amazing thing to be in a jail. And when these guys stood up, I said, "Let's all stand up and let's pray." You got white guys, black guys, Hispanic, every color under the sun. Do you know what? These guys are, listen, I don't know if you know this. Law enforcement people here tonight will say, "Are you sure that really happened?" It really happened. God is my witness. These guys stood up and they put their arms on each other. They touched each other. Black man, white man. And I made mention, you know, I said, "Look at you guys. The only reason why and the only reason for this happening is one name. It's Jesus. Only one name. Where Christianity is rightfully lived out, the gospel is honored, people are loved no matter what your view is, we become keepers of civility in a culture. A culture has no idea that when you marginalize Christianity and those that are trying to speak into the culture for good, you are destroying and attacking your own culture." "Oh, what proof do you say that?" The Judeo-Christian worldview influence, I challenge you. Hospitals around the world, look how they were started by whom? Overwhelmingly Christian. Schools, universities, missionary ventures, overwhelmingly Christians. Harvard, Christian. If you attend UCLA, when you go back to school, or if you have a logo, maybe you have a diploma, look at the logo from UCLA. I don't know if it's as current today as it once was, but on the logo of UCLA, in the middle, it has a book that's opened. Kind of looks like this one. And it says right here, "Let there be light." Think of that. We're keepers of civility. Number four, our biblical worldview on politics. Why should the Christian care? Because we are to persuade our culture everywhere. True biblical faith and scientific logic and practical reason should absolutely coexist in harmony. Why? Because the author of them all is the same one. And we persuade men. In Acts chapter 17, verse 1, Paul says there, or the scripture says, now when he, that's when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths, that's 3 weeks, reasoned with them from the scriptures, Old Testament, explaining and demonstrating, don't you love that, everybody? That the Christ had to suffer, that means he used scripture to show them the Messiah would have to suffer, and rise again from the dead, saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. And some of them were what? Persuaded. Why? Because the Bible says this, what really happened? Come to the conclusion. Use your head. I love it. John Adams said, we have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. John Adams, founding father, signer, Declaration of Independence, second president. Next slide, John Jay. I look forward to meeting John Jay someday. He wrote a lot of cool stuff. He had his fingers in everything. John Jay played a great role in establishing the Sunday school programs in America's early churches. He was one of the founding fathers and Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. John Jay said this, Providence has given our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as privilege and interest of a Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? This is the Supreme Court Chief Justice of the United States of America in 1816. How the mighty have fallen. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Politics, Why Should the Christian Care? It's a solidly biblical look at how the believer's Judeo-Christian worldview really is to be our guide, both outside the voting booth and inside the voting booth. Again, the title of today's timely message, Politics, Why Should the Christian Care? To hear this message again, just go to realradioactive.org and click where it says Today's Broadcast. You can listen online, download the MP3, or purchase today's edition of Real Radio. That's realradioactive.org, and click Today's Broadcast. Also, remember that Pastor Jack has a TV program called Journey with Jack Hibbs. That's the name of our half-hour television program, and you can watch it on hischannel.com. Go to hischannel.com and look up Journey with Jack Hibbs. Also, on Wednesday nights, hischannel.com broadcasts Pastor Jack's midweek service live. That's hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m. West Coast time on Wednesday. In fact, we have a link to his channel at our own realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is real easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.